Good morning, and welcome to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Elaine Baumgartel, news director here at KUNM. All around the country, students are walking out of classrooms to remember the 17 people who were killed in Parkland, Florida, during a mass shooting a month ago, and to make a stand against gun violence. Many, but not all, of the students participating in walkouts are calling for stricter gun control policies in the U.S. Today on the show, we're talking to students about what it's like to go to school in an era of mass shootings, how they deal with threats of gun violence, and what they want to see happen next. You can join our conversation today by calling 277-5866. You can tweet us, too, with the hashtag #LetsTalkNM. We're especially interested in hearing your thoughtful questions for our student panel today. Joining us, Sage Wahlstrom is a sophomore and high school student body president at Tierra Adentro, an arts and culture charter school here in Albuquerque. Mason Cannon is a sophomore at Albuquerque High School, and Zoe Kraft is a junior at La Cueva High School. Thanks to you all for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Sure. So we wanted to start off just with this main question of what is it like to go to school right now in this era of mass shootings? Sage, do you want to start?
Well, growing up, it's just like we've grown up in the era of mass shootings where it's just basically happened ever since we were born, and we've just grown up with it. And I think it's come to a point now where everyone is just gotten used to it, and it's just something that we have to deal with, which obviously isn't okay. And now, since it's just like kind of like a everyday occurring event, and it just happens now, like everyone's getting pretty fed up and like over with it. So that's what we hope to change. And it's just come to the point where, since we're like, our school is being directly threatened, it's just scary and uncomfortable feeling to go to school. And we feel like every day is just a risk where we have to fend for our lives, which isn't okay.
Zoe, do you think it affects the way that you learn?
I think it definitely can, but I think it's also something we've become very desensitized to. Like, Sandy Hook happened when I was in sixth grade, so it's just something that we've grown up with. But I know, especially after Parkland, you know, a lot of my friends were scared to go to school. They didn't want to go to school. So I think that it definitely does affect the way we learn. If announcements come on and we're afraid that we're about to have an active shooter lockdown, you definitely can't learn effectively in that environment.
Mason, what do you think people most misunderstand about what it's like to be a student these days, having only ever known this era of mass shootings?
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't realize that something like this is always in the back of a student's head. It's gotten to the point where every day you walk into school, and it may not be the first thing you think of, but at some point it pops in your head, what if this happened?
Definitely.
And I think that's just not okay at all, because you should go to school thinking, what's my next thing to learn? What's my next homework assignment? Not, what do I do if an active shooter comes onto campus?
How does it change how does that looming fear change the way that you go through your daily life at school? Like, does it change the things that you do, or the way that you move through your school, or the way you interact with your teachers or other students?
I think it really changes the way people treat the campus. People think about it more as a way of like escape, a way to hide, than just a place to inhabit. Like, whenever you're just walking through campus and someone will say, hey, if there was an active shooter, what classroom would you want to be in? Instead of ask you about class, it just, nothing revolves around school anymore.
Is that the same for you, Sage?
Yeah, definitely. Any classroom, like, we're told to think, okay, any class you go to, where would you hide or where would you escape? Like, what would you do? And it's like constantly, like, if I'm in this room and I'm thinking, okay, what would I do? And it's just like exactly like what you said, like, I should be worrying about, like, what the heck the teacher is talking about or what to do tomorrow in class, but rather I'm thinking about how am I going to stay alive.
So gun violence has been an issue in U.S. schools for a long time throughout the history of our country. But do the school shootings in recent decades feel different to you, Zoe?
I think that especially the Parkland shooting feels different to me. I think a lot of high school students hadn't been paying attention in detail for a while, but with another high school shooting, I think it just feels more real to everybody. But I think I've been kind of aware of all the shootings happening since Sandy Hook. At the time, I didn't know Columbine happened. I didn't know about all of that. But definitely in the past, you know, 5 years, I think it's gotten worse. Yeah.
Do you think it's different, Sage?
It's different in the sense that since, like you said, like Parkland, it's, we've all just realized that this is like, wow, like this is like within our own reality, and this can just as easily happen or can still happen just as easily to us as it did to them, because we are no different than those kids. We're going to school every day, we're learning, we're in the basically the same environment as they are, and it can just as easily happen to us. But it feels different in the sense that it's students are taking a stand and actively trying to change it now, rather than just like being told like, oh, let the children grieve, like let them, let's not, like, now's not the time to talk about guns. Like, these kids are like taking a stand immediately after what happened.
Mason?
I think that's absolutely right, because what's really important is with Parkland, I think there was a tipping point where people have gotten more and more involved with every shooting. And with Parkland, the student involvement from the students at the school has really pushed it over the edge, where high schoolers are starting to actually make a stand rather than letting it float away, letting it be remembered, but nothing be changed. And I really respect the kids out of that school for making a stand and forcing the politicians to actually do something.
Yeah. In a few minutes, we're going to get to some of the activities that each of you are involved in your own schools and in your own communities. But I just want to ask this quick question. What is it like to see folks from your generation, folks your age, on the national news driving a national conversation around school safety and gun violence? I mean, these are your peers, mm-hmm. right? What is that like?
It's just kind of crazy. It's just like, we've always seen like adults like are the ones that are like are like in charge, I guess, and are the ones that are making these movements. But in the past, it's always been movements driven by the youth, and it's always been like movements led by like the passion of youth, and because we're the ones that are changing our future for our generation.
Zoe, is that your experience as well?
I definitely agree with that. I think that it's great to see, you know, all these teenagers on the news. I think also, you know, our generation, teenagers, especially those, you know, in junior, senior year of high school, they're going to be voting soon. And so getting the voices of those young voters out there is super important. Just to amplify youth voices, I think, is one of the most important things for us right now to make change.
So we are taking your calls this morning too, folks. Do school shootings in the last couple of decades in America seem different compared with other incidents of gun violence at schools throughout history? Have there been threats of gun violence at your school or at your child's school? And after those threats, did you or your kids go to school the next day? Call now, 277-5866. That's 277-5866. Or you can tweet using the hashtag #LetsTalkNM. Mason, have there been threats of gun violence at your school since the Parkland, Florida shooting, and how did that affect students?
We haven't had any direct threats that I know of, but the day afterwards, there were 4 guns confiscated on campus. That was definitely scary. That was more gang-related than any school shooting, but it still just shows how easy it would be for someone if they wanted to. And there have been several instances with, like, there was a fire alarm at one point, and I was in the commons area, AHS is a new commons area, and everyone looks around and there's one exit to the outside. And a lot of kids started going out, and me and my friends, we thought, what if? We just sat at our chairs. Like
if something was happening, it wouldn't have mattered if you tried to get out anyways?
Yeah, like with all the toxic school shootings, it was everyone's going out that way, so we're going to try to stay away.
Zoe? In the sense of gun violence threats in your school, yeah. And what that's been like?
So we haven't had any direct threats at La Cueva, but in the days after the Parkland shooting, there were definitely rumors of threats, and just people were generally pretty shaken up. But I had heard about threats at a lot of other APS schools, which I and my friends definitely talked about. Those were some of the same nights we heard about some rumors of stuff at La Cueva. And it definitely made it hard to go to school the next day. Every time there's, you know, a fire drill or something, like Mason was saying, it's hard not to think, what if this is, you know, different?
Right.
Sage, have there been threats of violence at your school?
Yeah, actually, the weekend following the Parkland shooting, over social media, there's a direct threat made to our school. And, like, there was an email sent out to all the parents. And the Friday before that weekend, someone brought, like, a fake cap gun to school and shot it off. And that was, like, that was really scary. And it was just, like, crazy. Like, the Parkland shooting happened, this kid brought a fake gun, and then our school was threatened. So then the Monday following, after all of those things happening, like, a lot of people didn't go to school.
It was something like half the school didn't show up, right?
Yeah, it was crazy. There was assemblies. I mean, they just talked about how they're going to try to make our school safer for us. And everyone was just really shaken up. And you can tell, like, there was a really, like, different vibe at our school. Everyone was really scared.
Well, so folks are talking about adding security to schools, right? Like putting metal detectors at doors, which, you know, there are some schools in the country that already have systems in place like this. But the idea of every school having a metal detector, or every school having a bunch of guards with who are trained in firearm usage and who are carrying firearms, or even arming teachers themselves, training and arming your teachers with firearms. Do you think that would help make students feel safer, Sage?
Well, like the Parkland shooting, it was a fire drill, and that's when he started taking shots. So I guess it would make the students feel safer, like, within school campus, but there's always a possibility, there's always a chance for someone to...
Mason, would you feel safer with some of those options?
I'm not sure it would change anything. I used to live in Chicago, and I went to a school. It was one entrance, one exit. There were security guards. It was very restricted, and it doesn't feel safe. Rather, it may theoretically be a security measure, but it just makes it feel like you're always being threatened by something out there. And then the arming your teachers. My dad's a teacher, and he put so much time into it. And I think taking time away from teachers teaching and putting that into arming them, all it does is decrease the quality of education. And I think rather than doing that, there's much more effective ways to stop gun violence.
What about you, Zoe?
I definitely would disagree with arming teachers. I think also when we add more guns, more weapons into schools, it also causes a huge problem for minorities and youth of color because they're just so disproportionately affected by over-policing. I do think, though, good alternatives are supplying our teachers in our schools with, you know, trained counselors and therapists who are really trained in crisis intervention and prevention, and just more programs like that, implementing those.
Well, and sometimes the conversation goes to bullying, right? Like, there have been some reports that some shooters say they were bullied and that played into their decision to go in and wreak havoc and hurt people in their schools. Do you think that is a potential avenue for addressing some of this? Zoe?
Can you repeat?
Yeah, like is bullying in schools a major cause of this kind of violence in your mind? Would addressing bullying in school, I mean, it's not like that's the first time we've had this conversation, right? Like, bullying has been, and anti-bullying efforts in schools has been a big move, there's been efforts on that in recent years, right?
Right.
Has there been enough, or is that not even the issue in your mind?
I think bullying plays a part, but I don't think that's the main issue. I think that guns really are the main issue. Mental health, you know, bullying, you know, anti-bullying in schools is super, super important, and we definitely should try to be nice to all the kids that we're at school with, but I don't think that's the root of the issue.
Yeah. Sage, bullying?
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of factors that play into school shootings and mass shootings, but it's all, like, it all surrounds guns, and that's, like, that's where the issue really is.
Mason?
Yeah, I think people have been getting bullied since the start of humanity, and I think the difference now is that kids who get bullied have access to AR-15s and infinite ammunition. Mm-hmm. And I think that means a kid who gets bullied has a way out that involves killing mass numbers of other people.
We're talking with Mason Cannon. He goes to Albuquerque High School. Zoe Kraft goes to La Cueva, and Sage Wallstrom goes to Tierra Adentro. We're going to take a quick break in a moment here. If anyone listening this morning finds this conversation about school shootings tough, I want to point you to our website. We have a lot of resources and some options there if you'd like to talk to someone about how this is affecting you, this conversation today. We're devoting this hour to speaking with students specifically about what it's like to go to school in an era of mass shootings, what they think needs to change. Do you think there should be more security in schools? We are taking calls from you as well. What about arming teachers? Do you want to see stiff gun control in the country? Or do you think we have enough gun laws and restrictions already and that that's not actually the problem here? Join the conversation this morning with thoughtful questions for our all-student panel by calling toll-free 877-899-5866. You can also email letstalk@kunm.org. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. This is 89.9 KUNM. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
The law firm of Rothstein Donatelli is committed to supporting KUNM. Since 1976, the firm has litigated Native American law, criminal defense, wrongful death, and civil rights in New Mexico and nationwide. Info at rothsteinlaw.com.
Support comes from the tax-exempt New Mexico Philharmonic. Renowned pianist Olga Kern returns to Popejoy Hall with her son Vladislav for Mozart's double piano concerto in E-flat major. 6 p.m. Saturday, March 24th. Tickets at nmphil.org.
It's a challenge for any pianist, and that's what composer Maurice Ravel had in mind. When he wrote Gaspard de la Nuit, Ravel was trying to make it the most difficult piano music ever written, perhaps even unplayable. Coming up, Benjamin Grosvenor plays the unplayable in concert on the next performance today from 8 p.m.
Weekday mornings at 9 on KUNM.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. We're talking with students about gun violence and school shootings today. Sage Wahlstrom, Mason Cannon, and Zoe Kraft are in the studio with us today. We're also joined on the phone by Tyler Shahan. She's a senior at Aztec High. She was at school in December when two young people were shot and killed there. Thanks for speaking with us this morning, Tyler.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. So the shooting in Aztec shook your tight-knit community. It's a small town. Everyone knows each other there. How has your community changed as a result?
Well, it went from a small town to an even smaller town. It really did. It kind of felt like we were in a fishbowl, to be honest with you. Like, regardless of having the entire state support us, I had strangers hug me every day for about a month there. You know, I thought they were strangers and say, oh, you know, I know your dad for a long time, or, oh, I know your brother, you know, like it got a lot closer. Everyone kind of had a real sympathy for all of the students. Like a lot of strangers would offer a home at night. They said, if you need to get away, let us know. We got food on the table. Like we're here for you. It was amazing, actually.
And also like you lose the anonymity of just like doing your own thing, right? Yeah. So how has your own, like, does your daily life, does it look different to you than it did before?
It's completely different. I used to be a full-time athlete, senior class VP. I had my four classes. I was social butterfly. And not that it's bad now, but I only have one class at the high school. I avoid going as much as possible. I have the rest of the college. I blew out my knee, so I don't do sports anymore. And it's, and I'm missing a friend still. So it's definitely a different way of living from what I used to.
Yeah, your best friend, Casey Jordan, was killed in the shooting. I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
What do you want people to know and remember about Casey?
Oh, man, there's a lot. I could talk about her all day. For starters, she was one of the most loving people I've ever met in my life. And I would have told you that 3 months prior to the event. You know, she always smiled every single day. Like when she was really upset, she'd be giggling and she'd be drinking a lot of coffee. And no matter what, she would drop what she was doing and she would help out a friend. She would help out her mom, her little brother. Like she was always there for someone, no matter how much she needed herself. She always like looked out for everyone else first. So if more people lived like that, there'd probably be less violence, but that's a lot to ask of people.
Yeah, I cannot imagine how hard this has been for you. How are you and other people in Aztec coping?
Well, let me see. For me, I personally, I have my very close friends, and I'm with them most of the time, and we're all just kind of getting through this together. The rest of the community, we have assemblies quite often. Our student council, they're very active in our school. You know, we're all here for each other. If anyone's having a bad day, you are allowed to break down. A lot of our teachers that were near the shooting, they're very understanding. And if you need a break, they'll say, all right, just go chill and just compose yourself. You know, we're all here for each other. It's not like we're not worried about academics necessarily. We're not worried about deadlines. Sure, it's on our mind, but it's not like mental health is priority right now for all of us. And we're all taking really good care of each other.
Good. We've got some students from a few other high schools in Albuquerque in the studio today. Mason, Zoe, Sage, is there anything about what Tyler is saying that really resonates with you, Sage?
Just like thinking that she was a real person and she had feelings just like us, and she was in high school just like us, and she was just no different than us, and now she's gone. It just must be really hard. It's hard on us. I can't even imagine how hard it is on you and your community.
Zoe?
I definitely agree with that. I couldn't imagine having to go through something like that, and I think it's really sad that, you know, students who are just trying to get an education and who are at school need to be scared of being shot, of not making it home at night.
Yeah. Mason?
Yeah, I think it's just, there's nothing you can say besides that it's absolutely unacceptable that things like this are able to happen.
Tyler, in the last couple of weeks here, you were asked to speak at a middle school and high school in the nearby town of Kirtland, New Mexico. They had a string of threats out there. What did you go there to say?
Well, I think they had about 8 threats since December 7th, and I felt that, and Casey's mother felt that it was kind of looking us in the face and just laughing and taking advantage of it, because schools are shook, you know, they're scared. In a small community like this, you think, okay, our neighbors just got hurt. What if these jokes aren't real? What if this is a real threat? So then they take high precautions and they miss a couple hours of school, and students were taking advantage of that. So what we went to do, for me, I just really wanted to give them the reality and the severity of the situation, you know, because I never, ever want anyone to go through what I did and what my peers did and what my community did. So the fact that they think it's funny, it kind of hurts a little bit. And I want them to take care of each other and live a really good life. And that starts in high school. Like, if you're going to take serious things like this as a joke, like, you got to kind of reconsider. So I guess it was a wake-up call and a plea for growing up a little bit, like understanding and sympathizing with us.
What about the proposals to increase security in schools, like adding more guards or arming teachers or adding metal detectors? What are you thinking about those things after having had the experience that you had?
I definitely think that our state needs to step up a little bit. As of right now, Aztec High School requires every student to wear their student ID, and they have 3 unarmed security guards walking around. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, that is not very safe feeling. Like, we always have police officers there too. I really feel like the state of New Mexico needs to give us some more funding and some better ways to secure the school, because I don't feel safe. I really don't. And I know that there is PTSD, so I don't feel safe like I did everywhere, but on campus especially, like, that's why I moved my classes to San Juan, is because I don't want to be on that campus, you know. I don't know what the teachers could possibly do, but I really think it is on the state. They need to help out our Aztec Municipal Schools, because we are shaken beyond belief. If you drop a book in the middle of a classroom, at least 3 students will duck their heads. Promise. And I think after everything that has happened, if the state's not going to help us now, when will they, you know?
I want to thank you for sharing your story with us. Tyler, I again, I know that it must be, well, I imagine it might be kind of challenging to have this conversation. So I'm deeply thankful and grateful that you've been willing to share your experience with us. And I want to remind folks listening that if this conversation is stirring up strong emotions for you today, if you'd like to talk to someone and get some support, we've got free resources listed on our website, KUNM.org, on the post for this show. You can also call the New Mexico Warm Line, and that number is 1-855-NM-CRISIS. There's also a teen counseling text line, and you can send a text to 741-741 in order to get some support as you're thinking about and hearing from the folks that we've got on the show today. You have been hearing from Tyler Shahan. She is a student at Aztec High. She's been speaking at nearby schools to prevent gun violence and threats. Sage Wallstrom is from Tierra Adentro, and she's helping to organize, or she helped to organize the student walkout this week, and we'll circle back to find out a little bit more about that, Sage. Zoe Kraft is a student at La Cueva High School. She's helping to organize the local March for Our Lives event on Saturday, March 24th here in Albuquerque. And Mason Cannon is a student at Albuquerque High. He's a member of the Student Peace Organization, which is focused on activism and volunteerism. I'm going to take a call now from one of our listeners. Let's go to Scott in Santa Fe. Good morning, Scott. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Well, I had a couple things I was, you know, that I've been thinking about since listening to the program this morning. And I wanted to say that, you know, with regard to arming teachers, I am a teacher and have been for 17 years, and 11 of those have been here in Santa Fe. And I have worked at, you know, traditional brick-and-mortar schools for that time, and 2 years ago, moved over to an online school, you know, for the simple fact that the culture and the climate of traditional schools has shifted so dramatically in the time that I've been teaching. But to circle back to the arming teachers, I do have a concealed carry license, and I am an avid hunter. So between those two things, I would, you know, make a stand very strongly that arming teachers is a terrible idea. You know, when you're dealing with gun violence, more bullets is not an answer. So, you know, the ability to hit a moving target, even for the, you know, very well-trained officers we have, it's not as easy as you may think by watching television, right? So, you know, I would say that that is a very, very bad idea.
Do you have Scott, do you have any questions for our panelists today? Since we have this esteemed panel of young folks who are experts on this topic.
Yeah. Well, you know, the first thing I would say is that, you know, thank you guys. And I'm so proud of, you know, the action that the teens are taking across the country. And I'm very proud that that's happening here in New Mexico as well. But, you know, I would ask, where would you like these things to go? You know, we've talked about possibilities, but what types of, and I heard the comment about government intervention at the state level, but what would you like to see specifically? You know, ban on assault weapons, age limits, things like that. Some of the things in the kind of national narrative, what would you like to see specifically in New Mexico?
Great. Thank you, Scott. I'm going to put that question to our panel in just a moment. I want to take another call from Jan in Mountain Air. Good morning, Jan. You're on the air.
Hi. I'd like to reiterate what Scott just said. I'm incredibly proud of these young people. I'm sitting here at age 66. The political issue when I was their age was the Vietnam War. I heard a man call in on an NPR show a couple weeks ago saying, well, you know, these kids, they're just high school kids. They can't vote. They don't have any money. And I thought, no. Do not dismiss these young people. These seniors, many of them will vote this November. The sophomores, many of them will vote in 2020. They, you know, I am so proud of the political action that they're taking. It's just incredible to me. And I'm rather awestruck, actually, that the nation is sort of paying attention to them. It's so wrong that they have to live this way. This is not what high school is supposed to be. Their teachers should not be armed. They shouldn't have to have armed guards in the hallways of their school. You know, that's not the way they should be growing up. And I take huge offense when I hear people say, well, that's just the way the world is now. These young people have a chance to change that. And I'm fully supportive of everything they do to change that. We've got to get guns off the streets. I can't tell you guys how proud I am of your political action in this. And I just want to thank you for that and know that many of us old grown-ups have your back.
Thanks, Jen, so much for your call this morning. Students around the country are speaking out and saying that adults have not done enough to stop these tragedies. Do you agree? What do you think should be done? What is standing in the way and what should have been done before now? Please call us at 277-5866. That's 277-KUNM. You can also tweet us with the hashtag #LetsTalkNM. Let's go back to this topic of what activism you are involved in at your schools. Sage, let's start with you. You're a student at Tierra Adentro. You helped organize the walkouts this week. Talk to us a little bit about how you put that together, what that was like. What did students get out of it?
So immediately following the Parkland shooting and our school getting directly threatened, I work with a teacher at my school who's kind of like the overseer of student council. And she showed me like the posts about the Women's March Empower National Walkout. And I thought that was something that our school should definitely take part in. So before making any kind of announcement to like student council, I talked to administration and they were more than willing to allow us to take part in this, and they were so supportive, which I like, as they should be, and I really appreciate that. So I just kind of organized assemblies for our whole student body just to get the word out and just to talk about current events surrounding school shootings and the Parkland shooting more specifically, and address like what now, like what can we do to help, because I didn't want anyone to feel powerless. I wanted to ensure everyone that they have a say and they have a voice that can be heard and they can actually do something about it. So
what was it like? What do you think? Like you saw students participate in the walkout. What did it look like? What did it look like students were experiencing?
Everyone felt really empowered. Everyone was really excited. Everyone felt like empowered and entitled to their own opinion, and they felt like they were actively doing something, which is a really good feeling.
And your walkout and the support that you got from school teachers and administrators also wasn't the idea that like students could speak whatever opinion that they wanted. Like they didn't have to be pro gun control. They could be whatever their perspective, right?
That was a concern that I had with, like, we talked among student council and it worked out, and it was just amazing seeing everyone was out there to support like whatever factors that lead to school shootings and however best they think to prevent that. And I tried to make the point that in the assembly, like deep down, we all believe in the same thing. No matter like what way you think to best prevent it, we all believe that students shouldn't, like, innocent lives shouldn't be ended and students shouldn't be killed, and we have the right to feel safe at our school, and we all believed in that. And from that root belief, we were all able to stand out there in solidarity with our own independent opinion.
Tyler in Aztec, what is your reaction to the school walkouts and the activism of students from around the country and here in New Mexico?
I think it's wonderful, really. Like, we are the future of this nation, and it's not our parents that, I mean, they're very responsible for us, but it's not our parents that walk into campus every day and see that a wall's been painted a different color than you've seen it the last 3 years, and that gives them flashbacks and pain. You know, it's not our parents that hear a locker slam and want to hit the floor, you know. we are the ones that suffer. We are the ones that know what we need, and we are the future. So we need to be responsible for our own lives and for our younger siblings or even our children someday. You know, like, if we want change, it has to come from us. We can't expect anyone else to care and feel it. And it's not going to hit anyone as hard as it hits students. So I'm really proud of my peers, you know, across the state. I got letters, I got t-shirts, I got stuffed animals, I got signs. And now there's people reaching out to me about speaking to schools so I can empower more. And I love that so much because I feel like we need to take charge of our own future. There's only so much that people will do before they say, eh, they'll be fine. Like, no, we have certain things we need and we're going to get it. And I'm very proud of all of my peers, like, around the state.
We're talking with students about gun violence and school shootings today. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on KUNM. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Red or green? It's the New Mexico question. But when it comes time to donate your unwanted vehicle, it's click or call. If you feel more comfortable filling out an online form, go to KUNM.org and under support, select donate your vehicle. If you'd rather call and speak to a human being, call 888-KUNM-CAR. That's 888-586-6227. It's your choice. Click or call. Either way, your old car or truck helps to keep great programs like this one on the air.
I'm Tara Gatewood, host of Native America Calling. A new documentary titled Tribal Radio is bringing the Southern Ute Tribe's KSUT story to viewers. On our next program, we visit with members of this Tribal Radio station's team to hear how they stretch their airwaves and inform their Native community. We hope you'll tune in.
Weekday mornings at 11 on KUNM.
Welcome back to Let's Talk New Mexico. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. Today we're talking about what it's like to be a student in an era of mass shootings. Some researchers have said that despite these mass shootings and all the attention that they get in the media, schools are actually pretty safe right now. Do you feel safe at school? Do your kids feel safe at school? Or maybe you think the media is to blame for emphasizing these events, building cultural anxiety and notoriety for the shooters. We want to hear from you today. Call us at 277-5866 and join the conversation. You can also find us on Facebook and post comments there. We're at KUNM Radio. We're speaking with Zoe Kraft, who is a student at La Cueva High School, Sage Wallstrom from Tierra Adentro, and Mason Cannon from Albuquerque High. We also have Tyler Shahan from Aztec High on the phone. So I want to talk with you all a little bit more about your activism and how your peers at your schools are reacting, right? So, Zoe, you're helping organize the local March for Our Lives event, which is coming up on Saturday, March 24th here in Albuquerque.
Yeah.
It's coordinated along with events all across the country in a national march. Talk to us a little bit about why you got involved in that. Is there a sense of urgency now for you in that work?
Yeah, so I think after the Parkland shooting, there definitely seemed to be more of a sense of urgency for me. In the few days kind of following the shooting, I heard about March for Our Lives, the national march, and so I was just scrolling through Facebook, you know, once every couple hours, just waiting for some event to pop up in Albuquerque, and I actually was kind of debating back and forth about creating one myself when one finally popped up. So I talked to, you know, the woman who had put it up, and we ended up starting to work together. And since then, it's turned into something cool. I've been working with a lot of really talented community organizers and other students to just make sure, you know, we're representative of the majority of students and that everyone's voices can really be heard.
Yeah. So what has been the most challenging thing for you in trying to do that organizing?
I think you don't really realize all of the elements that go into planning an event like this until you're actually having to do it yourself. So I think just logistics-wise, that's definitely been challenging. But working with all of the people that I am, it's been amazing to hear everyone's thoughts, and everyone's so supportive of each other and ready to make a change that with all of us working together, it's really great.
What about you, Mason?
Yeah. I don't participate in organizing as much. I'm a member of a few, like, activism, student peace organization clubs, and generally I just try to be a voice of reason because I think there's a lot of passion out there about it and about this school shooting issue. And I think,
well, like hundreds of students from Albuquerque High walked out yesterday, right?
Yeah, it was, we had a kind of walk in. We went to our commons area and we had a little, it was a memorial service sort of where we just, it was a memorial for the lives lost at Parkland. And I think it's really important that we take this beyond memorials and we make it into a political statement, because in a lot of the clubs I'm in, there the president will say, well, we want to remember what happened, but it needs to be apolitical. And I always try to say, we don't want
to be... It needs to be apolitical.
Yeah, and I always try to say, we need to be rational. We don't want to be on an extreme end of the political spectrum, but we need to be political. It's far past the time for non-political talk.
Tyler, what are you thinking as you hear your peers talking about this stuff?
I'm very proud of you guys. Like, thank you for taking a stand, because some of us, I don't necessarily know how to do that myself, but you guys are making a huge difference, and I appreciate it a lot. I know Aztec Student Council, I didn't attend yesterday, but we had a huge ceremony. We had the flag at half mast. It was for the 19 lives lost for us with Parkland. I'm just really proud of everyone. Really, like, I appreciate it.
Let's take a call now from Roger in Hemis. Roger, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning, Elaine. I appreciate you hosting this very courageous panel, and I'm very proud of their activism and what they're doing. The comment and then the question I have is that it seems like, you know, in terms of generational gun culture, there has been no more prevalent generation with access to gun culture than this particular generation that's on your panel. These youth have access to gaming, very violent gun gaming, very live, like, kill gaming. And I think that maybe that sense of media adds to the desensitizing of human life. So I'm just wondering, the question is how does this panel then raise, if that is in fact a fact, how does the panelists raise in the youth activism, put down their gaming controls while they pick up their picket signs? Because I think it's got to be a two-step process, and that's got to be part of the conversation. And I think because that type of media adds to the desensitizing of and the value of human life. So what would they say about that?
All right, let's go. Who would like to start? So you want to start?
Sure.
Violent video games, violent movies. Is this what you see as the place to start working?
So I think that this is definitely a red flag that guns are so prominent in our society today, that they're featured so much in these violent movies, these video games. But I've also heard people try to tell me that that is the problem in of itself, and I don't think that's the case. I think it's a sign of a larger issue that needs to be addressed, but the larger issue of guns needs to be addressed first.
Like that guns in society produce the violent movies and violent games as opposed to the other way around?
Exactly.
What do you think, Sage?
I totally agree with that. There's more important things that need to be taken care of first before we worry about that stuff. I definitely think it's a factor in leading to school shootings, and it's like it leads to like the mental state of guns being common in our society, but I don't think it's a leading cause.
Zoe?
I think it also definitely can lead to desensitization, but I think the fact that these are so prominent is a sign that we're already desensitized to violence, that we're putting these in video games that, you know, kids and teenagers are playing.
Mason?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a symptom of a larger problem, but I think it's less related to the problem of mass shootings than one would think, because I think video games, for a lot of kids, they're looking for something to puncture through the high school malaise, something to be like interested in, to get through just the day in, day out of being bored. And I think the difference is that the violence can be a mechanism of that in a video game, but I think it's far different from a student who wants to actually kill people. And I think you can't really draw a comparison between a violent video game and actually shooting someone.
Tyler, what do you think about folks who point to violent video games or violent movies and TV shows and blame those things for mass shootings?
It's actually funny that you guys bring this up. On Tuesday, I went and spoke at a safety seminar and that class was all adults. Actually, the majority of it happened to be Aztec staff and educators because they want to be safer too. And what I did is I read an excerpt from a book, and it was, I believe it was called Assassination Generation. And I just read the intro, and the intro was just narrating the scene when you begin the game Postal 3. And it was so violent. And I read it to these people that basically raised me, you know, and I read it to them, and it was just describing step by step what this police officer does. He like beats people up, innocent people, blows them up. And I read it to them, and the look on their face was absolute horror. Like, they were looking at me thinking, what is wrong with this girl? What is she talking about? This is so awful. Like, what's with this violence? And then I told them, this is a video game. This is what my peers are playing. You know, 2 days after the shooting, I was walking down the hall, and my 12-year-old brother was yelling about shooting someone in the face. Imagine how that affected me, you know. I know you guys don't think video games necessarily affect it, but it doesn't help. You know, we have to raise students and children to understand the value of human life. We have to understand the danger of guns. We have to understand how to use them properly and safely. They will be around no matter what you do. This is America. You're not getting rid of that. It's not going to happen. We need to really understand and take extra precaution. If your kid is playing these games, that's okay, but you need to tell them you never do anything of this scale to any person. You don't treat people that way. You take care of each other. You need to value human life. If you're a parent, tell your kids this. If you're an older sibling, tell your little siblings, you know, tell your family. We need to start appreciating and valuing life more, because in an instant, it's gone. It really is. So it doesn't necessarily help being raised with this violence, but there's a lot more issues. It's a contributing factor. I almost guarantee it.
Let's take a call now from Johnny in Albuquerque. Good morning, Johnny. You're on the air.
Hi. I would like to say that I feel that our entire culture has precipitated so many factors that lead to problems all across every part of our world. And it's based on a variety of things as well. But it's a lot of it is not addressing effectively psychological issues. And when someone that has been in the position where they feel that the only way they have to address things is to scream with gunplay or other means of violence, it's pointing to the fact that we need to seriously address the entire thing. And I also wanted to say I really applaud the students and youth of today for their efforts to bring this to the attention of the politicians and the states and the educators that it needs to be. We need to rework our whole world, and that's all that I have.
Thanks a lot, Johnny, for your comments this morning. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. This is Let's Talk New Mexico, and we have a panel of all students this morning. Mason Cannon from Albuquerque High, Zoe Kraft from La Cueva, Sage Wallstrom from Tierra Adentro, and Tyler Shahan from Aztec High. So, folks, are people listening enough to people who are 18 and under about gun violence, mass shootings, and school safety and gun control? Do you feel like you're being heard, Sage?
I definitely think we are. I think people are starting to take us more seriously now, and I hope they realize that, like, a lot of us are going to be able to vote in November. A lot of us are have strong beliefs, and we're like just waiting to vote and take part in that. And I think they realize that we're trying to make change, and we know what we want now.
Zoe, are people listening?
I agree that people are listening. I think especially on this topic, after the Parkland shooting, with what the students from Parkland have been doing, the student voices are really being heard. I do think it's also sad, though, that it took a tragedy like this for student voices to really become amplified on this issue, when we really just should have been involved in the change-making process from the beginning.
Tyler, in Aztec, what do you want to see from these demonstrations that are planned? Are there things that you envision could be possible now that maybe didn't feel so possible a couple of months ago?
Well, we're definitely getting a lot more media for a long time. There were cameras in our face and we didn't want it. But now that 3 months have passed, I feel that we are getting some media and we are getting our voice back. So that's kind of good. And I really hope that I just start seeing a change in the younger generations. You know, when I spoke to the middle school, I got choked up and I couldn't tell them much because I didn't want to drop a bomb on them and depress these children, you know, but they're the future. So I hope they look at all of these seniors and juniors and high schoolers in general and think, you know what, we make a difference. And I'm thankful that we are making a stand and hopefully future generations will too.
Mason, you're raising money to go to D.C., right? Are you? Maybe not.
Nope.
Sorry. My bad.
That's me.
That might not be you. But you are involved in an organization at your school that has to do with peace and organizing.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about what that is. What are you working on with your organization and what do you want to see come of it?
Yeah, really, we're just trying to get as many people involved as we can because I think right now a lot of high schoolers are involved. And it's really made an impact. It used to be that politicians would kind of pat the high schools on the head, say,
little children.
We'll pretend to listen to you. And I think we're on the cusp of moving past that. It's right on the edge of getting a legitimate movement going. And I think the key to that is getting as many people involved as possible. So I think the biggest thing that I'm trying to do at my school is get as many people involved as possible. And really get policy-minded change into as the main focus, rather than just
what
being
policies?
Angry.
What policies do you want to see passed? I'll take that question to each of you. Right, specific mm-hmm. policies or laws or changes, security changes. What would you like to see happen, Mason?
I think the biggest, most effective thing we can do right now is a complete ban on assault rifles, bump stocks, etc. That make military-grade weapons designed for killing humans specifically available to civilians. Because I think there's no need. People say, I need to defend my home. I need to go hunt. You don't need to hunt with an AR-15 assault rifle. You don't need to hunt with a semi-automatic bump stock attached to your AR-15 assault rifle. Defending your home, you don't need an AR-15 assault rifle. These guns are used specifically for killing people. And I think the best thing we can do right now is a complete ban on those, and then we can work from there. And we can address mental health as well.
Zoe.
I agree with that. I also think universal background checks, but banning assault rifles and bump stocks, these are really, they're weapons of war and they're not needed for hunting. No one who's, you know, a responsible gun owner who's just doing something for recreation is going to need, you know, an AR-15.
Sage.
Yeah, I definitely agree with everything they just said. And Raising the age restriction on purchasing these guns is a huge factor in it because, like this, the kid who just shot at Parkland, he was 19. He was able to buy a gun without any sort of like really background check, or he bought all these bump stocks and was just able to, and that's not right, and that's something that could definitely change.
We're coming to the end of the show today. You can find coverage of yesterday's walkouts, information about upcoming demonstrations, and also resources if this conversation raised some challenging feelings or experiences for you online at KUNM.org. We've just really like to thank everybody for joining us this morning. All of you, Mason Cannon from Albuquerque High, Tyler Shahan from Aztec High School, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your experiences with us this morning. Sage Wahlstrom from Tierra Adentro and Zoe Kraft from La Cueva. We also had another student who was going to join us this morning who wasn't feeling well, so we missed him. Marisa DeMarco produced this show this morning and did just an amazing job. Marino Spencer is our engineer. Rashad Mahmoud screened your calls. And Mallory Begay live tweeted the show. I'm Elaine Baumgartel. This is Let's Talk New Mexico on 89.9 KUNM.